Family, welcome to the Now Network. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. The Now Network presents Women Speak Now and Be Heard, hosted by Minister Michelle Taylor.
Can't help but praise them, can't help but praise them, can't help but praise them. Glory, hallelujah. Welcome, welcome to Women Speak Now. I'm your host, Minister Michelle. Thank you for joining me, listening audience. You are loved and appreciated. And most importantly, you are loved by the Most High God, the only true and living God. Women Speak Now is for all women, believers and non-believers, seeking an environment of love, empowerment, and trust, coming together as one in Christ. Men, you are always, always welcome into this atmosphere of love. Women Speak Now is dedicated to real talk, real issues with real godly solutions. Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Please continue to like us on our Facebook page on Women Speak Now, and thanks to everyone that's already had the opportunity to do so. You are truly appreciated. And a special thank you to Pastor E for having me as your host here on Women Speak Now. Please know that you are truly, truly appreciated. This broadcast is for you, our listening audience, to get involved in the conversation. You can give us your own topics directly on our Facebook page, Women Speak Now, as well as through Pastor E, the CEO and founder of this dynamic network, or myself. Now, listening audience, please don't be shy. Please don't be shy. We need to hear from each other, and I need to hear from you. All of us need to hear each other's perspectives, others' perspectives and experiences and testimony. It all adds to us learning. We need to hear your knowledge. So please get involved in the conversation. At the end of this discussion, we welcome you to press 1. So, yes. You have something to say, press 1 at the end, because we welcome you to speak now and be heard. Well, praise the name of the Lord. Good evening, everyone. I am honored to be back before you on tonight, and what a mighty God we serve. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Lord, we thank you for being on our side, for surely we don't know where we would be if it wasn't for your grace and your mercy and your unmerited favor. I'm so thankful and so grateful to be loved by you. What a mighty God we serve. Tonight is a continuation of our collaboration, Men of the Movement and Women Speak Now. The men did an excellent job on Tuesday answering the questions, and tonight they have some really good. Let me bring in the mighty man of God, my co-host, my co-ambassador, my brother, none other than Pastor E.
What's up?
Welcome.
How are
welcome,
you, sister?
Man of God.
I'm awesome. I'm blessed. Now I lost my voice. I don't know if you saw it running down Long Beach Boulevard, but I lost my voice somewhere at Luther's Park. We blessed. We're still blessed to be here.
Yes, we are. Well, amen. Well, if I see it, I'm gonna send it right back to you in the name.
Send it
of
back
Jesus.
To me. Send it. I'm gonna need it in the morning.
Well, the good thing is I'm answering all the questions, but we need the men. You know, you know how we do it. We got each other, and most importantly, we got the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And, well, I'll tell you, you held it down on Tuesday night, answering all the questions pretty much by yourself, and you did it in excellent. And, you know, I've grown so much through this collaboration, and I know many have been blessed, many listeners, those who listen to archives, I know they've been blessed. And none of us know everything, and especially men and women in this understanding of our differences. So this collaboration has really helped me to grow, and I've just been blessed to share, to receive, and again, to grow, because I can always learn something new. Even though I've been married a long time, there's always a different way to do something. Your relationship evolves, and all these things. So I've truly, truly been blessed, and I know you have too.
Oh, yes, amen. And you as a married person, me as a single person, I'm building a workbook. The dudes, excuse me, the dudes and the don'ts. Ooh, James got that thing on me. Ooh, the dudes and the don'ts. So we're building up our journal, I'm excited. I've grown for this, and then being able to minister after these collaborations is pretty dynamic too, because there's still messages for the masses, and it is great. It's just great.
Absolutely. And you know, Brother James, he just gave me so much joy on Tuesday, and just to hear all that God is doing in his life, I was encouraged. And it's always, you know, it's important that people hear us laugh and have a good time, because you can have a good time in the Lord.
Yes.
You can laugh and do all those things. So I just had an awesome time with him as well on Tuesday on Man Up with the collaboration.
Right, right. He was on the line. I know he's in between a couple of things. He'll be back later. It was just such a joy that, you know, to let it go. A lot of people would hold it in and like, oh, man, what would somebody say? But he let it go. Oh, my God. He let the Holy Spirit just flow through him. And I know it was confirmation of the Holy Spirit, because I got so many messages that was not asking, like, what was he doing? It was saying, no, that was a Holy Ghost laugh. That was the Spirit just bursting out of him. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, I know the men got some excellent questions for us tonight. So without any further ado, man of God, would you pray us in and set the atmosphere so we can get into these questions that the men have prepared for us here on tonight?
Amen. Amen. Well, gracious Heavenly Father, we continually thank you. Thank you for that opportunity right now to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Lord, we submit to you right now. Lord, we bow down before you, Lord, and say, use us. Use us in any way possible that would share with someone your love, your joy, and your spirit. So, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, that as we bow down, as we decrease of ourselves, that you elevate and you take over our words, take over our thinking, take over the processes that we're going to go through tonight. And Lord, have your mighty way that we leave this place different than we came. Lord, we decree and declare that we want to be changed. We decree and declare we want to be rearranged. And Lord, we stand that we are leaving here transformed and transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we glorify you today, Lord, that you are God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are still in control, Lord. And we thank you that we're learning how to get out the way. So bless this broadcast tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Minnie,
amen.
I'm ready. I know you have some good questions for me tonight. Woo! I'm prepared. I have some backup as far as my answers. I have asked several people. So I have a well-rounded answer for you. And I know that I have women that support Women Speak Now that will come in at the end and give their different perspective, because I'm coming from this one perspective and a few others that I've gotten. So I look forward to this and hearing everybody's perspective, including the men. Amen.
And come on, and other people get involved too. I see our support systems are low tonight, but we are believing God is sending them on their way. I know, as I said, I know James will stop back by later. He was on earlier. But I want to start with this bonus question first, because it's real simple.
Awesome.
When you sent this to me, I was like, oh, I can answer that right away. The question is, this was submitted by a coworker. This is the question. Is it disrespectful to still be friends and communicate with an ex who know full well they want you back, but you are now in a committed relationship or now married? It is totally disrespectful. Totally disrespectful. What makes it totally disrespectful, because the emphasis was when you know full well you want that person back.
That's what I say. That's what the women say on tonight. Amen.
And I say that friendships. Now, I don't want to take away from friendships, because there are friendships and bonds being built in ministry today with a lot of us single people that I know without a fact will be a part of my life for the rest of my life. So it wouldn't be like an ex, or there are relationships that I have built as a single person over the last, oh, geez, I don't want to put it out there, but that have been really divine and more of a nothing physical. Now, I'm not taking away from maybe the first glance or the first meeting and say, ooh, but I'm talking about the relationship that has been built over years. Those are things that I think a man should say, this is part of my life. So it's not something hidden. It's not something like, hey, here's my package. Meet it. I want you to meet Sister So-and-so, Sister So-and-so, Sister Michelle. This is my homegirl. We on radio together. I need you guys to know each other. That's what a man should do. But if it's someone, an ex, and especially if and you can't say one has feelings, because if you were ever in love with somebody physically, that feeling doesn't go away, especially when they're still after you.
Oh, I agree. And I would add that the key word was that they both were in love with each other, and that one person still wants the other person. So it clearly is not going to be a friendship. This is not a friendship at all. This is a pursuit ship.
Yes, that's right. That's real talk. That's real talk right there.
This is a pursuit ship. Somebody's pursuing someone. So, no, you cannot be friends. I don't think that is wrong if they would have took out the point that the other person wants them, you know, and if you have children and you have to communicate and you're trying to build a friendship, yes. But if one person is still in love or one person is still pursuing or wants a relationship, then clearly it is not okay to be in a conversation, in a relationship with that person. Absolutely not.
Well, yeah, and it's very, this is imperative here for couples. That you treat your now better than you treated your before. Because now I'm just saying this because you by you knowing, like just say for instance, I was with you with her 30 years. We've been divorced 5 and I've only been with you 2. there's more familiarity with me in the old one than it is with the new one. But what am I really focusing on? It, we have to be more intentional of bringing in that new, that new person in our lives completely.
Well, yeah, how can you even
because it hurts. It does hurt.
Yeah, well, how can you even have a real relationship if you're holding on to the past? If you still have feelings for someone else, then clearly you're not giving your all to your wife or to this new relationship that you're pursuing. So it's not even a fair chance because clearly your
that's
feelings
right.
and your heart is with someone else. So
that's
right. the part right there that's just messing up everything, and that should not be. And if you're married, you're totally out of line.
Oh, totally out of line. Totally online. But, you know, there's people in relationships that are still holding on like a security blanket, especially if that person
right.
was weaker and they left them and they still are missing what they had. Because there are some bad relationships out there that where men and women left that spouse or that person, and that person is still sitting there like, I'm going to wait and I'm going to hold on and believe on that.
Right.
And the other person uses that as a crutch. So they never have you never have a prosperous relationship because you don't let the other one go because you're scared to let go because you may be by yourself.
Right. I agree.
But totally unacceptable for my brothers out there. I want to let you know it is disrespectful to your mate, to your date, whoever you're going out with, whoever you think now you have found. And the Bible says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. When you have found her, it is disrespectful to even involve an ex in your relationship.
I agree. I totally agree.
I had to start with that one.
No problem. It was a good one.
Thank Amen. Good one. Well, number slash 1B. That was 1A. 1B is, and I know some people are going to say, why did he go there? But in the church, and I could say, well, you know, I'm a pastor. Well, I'm not the normal pastor. I'm not your ordinary. So I kind of could come out of that, out of this category. But the pastor's on the pulpit, and I'm on the pulpit too, but I got a different perspective on that. But why do women seem, it seems, I'm not saying I know this for sure, but it does look like it. Why does it seem that a woman that goes to a church, first of all, respects the pastor more than she does her husband, even though if he's not going to church? But why are women so easily to forgive the man, the so-called man of God, of his faults and indiscretions than they are to forgive and move on in the relationships they have at home?
That's a good question. So first, I asked several people. So it was a good dialogue, good variety of answers. So it's coming from a lot of different perspectives besides my own. But first I would say that that women in general do respect the man of God. They respect men of God, which includes, like you said, pastors and ministers, elders, just anyone that's of the cloth, anyone that's been ordained, anyone that, you know, you would consider a minister, a pastor, or elder.
Right.
They respect men of God in general. And it is a cultural thing, and it's also – from a Christian expectation. It's like a Christian expectation, a believer expectation, that we give a certain level of reverence to men and women of God. So you do show a certain level of respect, a certain level of trust, a certain level of expectation to the people who you feel that God has set apart to lead his people, the people of God. With that being said, a lot of women didn't feel that in general, that women are the wife. We're talking about wives, didn't feel that they show more patience or loyalty or forgiveness to the men of God, but they felt like because they're married to their husband and not the pastor, it may seem that way. So women, a lot of women want their husband to be like the pastor. That's really what it
right.
came down to. A lot of women want their husband to be like the pastor. And I will agree that the women will have a greater expectation to the man she's committed to, especially in the trust areas and the household matters, because she lives with her husband and not the pastor. So the expectations are going to be totally different. Now, I know a lot of women personally who will not, that's not forgive a pastor after he had an extramarital affair or if he got caught up into some money situation at the church or some
right.
kind of financial allegations, that they will leave the church, not forgive him, not give him a chance to be forgiven or to restore himself or any of that. But then on the other hand, I know women, too, who will stay with that pastor no matter what he does, if the pastor can
no matter
do no
what.
Wrong. no matter what. And so I do know that happens on both ends. But it's
right.
a very interesting question because the married women I know, including myself, are very patient with our husbands, very forgiving. But our expectations are different with your husband than it is towards your pastor. So it may seem like that, what was the part of the question, that they are more judgmental, because that was part of the question. It probably
right.
does appear that we're more judgmental.
I didn't want to throw that out there because I didn't want to sound like, okay, we're going there. But that was one thing. Like, well, why are they so judgmental to us? But they go in that church every Sunday. And I told them, I said, well, first of all, you got to understand that you can't judge the man who's doing the work of God from that position of doing that work. Now, when he leaves there and he's doing his own thing, there's judgment on him, but the anointing can still flow. And the anointing can still teach and can affect people. And that's why it's so important. I have to say this along with this question, because I said to everybody, I said, no, that's why it's more important for us to become the ministers in our houses, that now we become a part of our partner's ministry, that it's not just them, but it's now us. And then if something's wrong when you get to become, when you come and get involved in it, then you guys got to sit down and find the right place for both of you to grow. But it doesn't take away from, it can't take away from what's going on now until we change what we haven't done right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, some of the women felt like that there may be qualities in the pastor. There may be qualities in the pastor that the wife is drawn to. There just may be certain qualities, you know, certain qualities about him being a leader, being in a position of leadership, and all these things that wife may be drawn to. And then they said the pastor
right.
may be more attractive sometimes because the husband, I know we talk a lot of times about the women letting themselves go, but sometimes men let themselves go too. They get relaxed in a relationship. They start drinking and get the little belly, the beer belly, and all these different things, or they could be on medication or whatever. So sometimes that pastor may be attractive, and you know, the woman is sitting up here and don't want to hurt her husband's feelings, but she's not trying to be with him romantically. But it may seem like, oh, he can do no wrong because, again, if there's certain qualities in him that she is attracted to that may not be in her husband.
Right.
But then they felt like
pastors stay sharp.
Right. They stay sharp. They dress nice, you know, all that stuff. And then you have where the pastor himself may contribute, not even knowing, because he's giving that wife attention, but not in a way like sexual or anything. Just the fact that he appreciates her gifts and talents that she's bringing to the church. So he's always like, well, thank you, Sister So-and-so, for, you know, being in the nursery. Or thank you for, you know, getting these tracks. Thank you for whatever. And he's showing attention that his wife may not be getting at home. And he doesn't even know that, you know, something's going on at home. He's just appreciating, you know, what she's doing in the church. And so it was all these things that contributed to it.
It
was one answer. These are the real answers that I got on today. And so it just honestly depends on so many factors. But these are some of the reasons why it will be that way, why a woman would have more patience and loyalty and forgiveness towards the man of God and be judgmental with her husband.
Well, you know, that's great. That answer was awesome. But it still goes down, and this goes for both sides, women and men. It's up to us to become more bonded and connected together in ministry. And if it's just going to church together, that it becomes more together, more team. That there is no question to what's going on, because we now are in total agreement to what's going on. I think that's the most important thing.
I do too, absolutely. And that, you know, we both show each other attention, you know, all those things to keep the romance going, you know, to really talk about those serious issues and to continue to work on the marriage, you know, all that will kind of take away from all these other things that's going on with this past.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right. We got to change our paradigms and start to, you know, as we talked about Tuesday, those romantic things aren't just the sexual physical things. Romance is the care and the time and the attention.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're gonna do better. We're gonna do better sooner or later.
Yes, we are.
I will do better now.
Together to work things out. Amen. Yes. I would be better now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This question came from the gymnasium at Luther's Park today during our DeMar DeRozan free basketball clinic. This is from a married man, but this was question number two. Why are women so dang emotional over simple things?
Another good question. So this is what I came up with the women I talked to today. They said that women in generally process things differently than men. Bottom line, women process things differently than men, and women are wired differently than men, and we believe it's the way that God created us. And we have something that's called estrogen, and our estrogen is much higher than the man. And it regulates our moods, it regulates our sensitivity, it regulates our overall well-being. And research shows that as a woman starts to go through menopause, that her estrogen drops and she becomes mellow, not so much emotional. It's a whole different mood thing going on in older women. But when you're younger and you have this high level of estrogen, then it regulates your mood, your sensitivity, your overall well-being. But they said that they believe some men will say to the woman, oh, you're being emotional, to deflect the spotlight off them, off of something they really did that wasn't cool, or not take responsibility, so they throw off that emotional lingo. You're just being emotional, you know, when really the woman has a clear reason to be upset about something. But they felt like men are a lot of times insensitive to the things that women are sensitive to. So it's like we may be sensitive to something that you're just not sensitive to that. So it's just a difference. So it really is a perception in many times. But again, the research shows that women are prone to talk about what they are thinking and feeling. So we're just going to talk about our feelings and our emotions to demonstrate how we're feeling. And a lot of times it could be with tears. It's going to be with our facial expression. It's going to be with some hand gestures and some body language, you know. So
I was just about to comment on there that it's not with words. It's them looks. Yeah, it's them cut eyes. Yeah, sharp response. Sharp response.
Oh, yeah. You know, take your body and turn it to the left. Like, don't, you know, all that, you know. So, but many women seem to be more comfortable figuring out how they feel by talking it through. And men don't really do that. So men generally tend to process their emotions inwardly, where we do it outwardly. So that's the difference between us right there. And so since men process their emotions inwardly, they do not show their emotions with their facial expressions, with their body language, and all the things we do. So it appears that it's emotional, and sometimes it is emotional. So they may perceive any show of emotion from the woman as being overly emotional, and men seem to handle, you know, when men get uncomfortable with women and their emotions, it makes them uncomfortable, you know, especially if we start crying.
Yes. What is wrong? What I do? It's okay.
They feel very uncomfortable. And if we cry, then we've really been over emotional then, as far as the man is concerned. You know, it's like, oh, now she is really, really being over emotional. So if it's a difference, you know, in the way that women are created, and it also has to do with perception, what the man may perceive as being overly emotional, and the woman feels like, I'm just expressing how I feel. So that was the answer for that, Patsy.
Okay, all right. So we're wired differently. So you guys are 11 years advanced of us, but it's vice versa when it comes to our emotions. So we get worse older, and you guys get better at an older age. So that's a reverse situation. Look at how the clock rolls.
There's benefits to dating older women.
Well,
having an older woman as your wife, amen.
There you go. Yeah, having an older woman as your wife, that's right.
Yeah.
Or a younger a older woman having a younger man, because 11 years, if you're advanced over, so you still have 11 year bounce period in there.
That's true. Very true. But in all, get wisdom and get an understanding.
Oh, yeah, get some understanding, get to know each other, communicate. Really, really go, you know, I encourage anybody listening tonight, take sex out of the equation, because it will ruin everything. If you were meant to be together, sex can ruin it. If you have a divine calling, that your purpose is to live together, living together and having sex can blow the whole thing. But when you get to know each other, the ins and outs, you now learn how to bond and how to give room. But sex kind of gives authority on both sides.
Yeah.
And when that comes into place, now someone thinks they have a higher level of expectations.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
And so I encourage anyone, get to know each other personally. Talk to each other. Pick each other's brains. Get to know each other's moods and emotions and them times of the month where you just don't want to be bothered. I'm talking to my brothers out there. We just like everybody else. There comes a time we don't want to be bothered around in the end of the month. But anyway, that we get to see all these things, it will really help. That's a counseling thing. We're giving free tonight to any couple. Spend time knowing each other. Talk. Let it all out. Don't hold nothing in just because you want what you think you want, because that's not what you want. It's the person inside that you're really looking for. That's a freebie tonight.
Absolutely. It's a good freebie.
The Holy Ghost is moving. Question three. And I know we've kind of asked this question another way, and I was telling the brother that, but he wanted me to kind of make a twist on it. Because the question is, are women's expectations obtainable? Now, I want to break that down a little bit, because two brothers that were out there talking, one said, well, hey, whatever a woman wants, we give them, but because we have to be gone from home longer to do overtime and to be the sole provider, to be the one to put in, then there's this still unhappiness to where are you? Why ain't you never at home? Well, I'm not at home because I'm working to provide. On the other end, there may be a situation where the guy is doing all the pampering, and I think I shared this with you, that we both laughed. The house shoes at the front door, the dishes washed, and the food's prepared, kids are taken care of, but he ain't bringing in no money. That causes a problem. One brother said, he said, I tried it. I tried to do all that, and because I didn't have a job, I didn't get no peace. That's kind of what I think the question was rolling around about, is are the expectations, or are what women think they really want really what they want, and are they willing to accept it?
Well, you know,
I'm surprised the lines. Look, I'm surprised the lines aren't blowing up right now, because I know I can feel it in the spirit. There's some folks want to get in on that one.
I know they do. And you know what? Give it a true answer. It really depends on the woman. It's not like you can just answer this from one perspective. It depends on the woman. But what all brings into the factor of all the situation, or the reality of the situation, is this. If the woman is mature, if the woman's mind has been renewed, and God has healed her broken heart, then yes, her expectations are attainable. And I know you gave some examples where all women bring something to the table, and that's most of the time it's a job. And so,
right.
I think it really comes down to not so much of the quantity of time that a man spends with a woman. It's the quality. See, if the quality is you watching a football game, but I was sitting there with you, that's not what I'm talking about. If the quantity is we're going to go to the movies and you're the only person that enjoys the movies, that's not the quantity. The quantity is actually spending time doing something pleasurable together that we both want to do, that we both enjoy doing. So it comes down to the quality of the time, not really the quantity. I don't think women mind if a man is working overtime because he wants her. The woman understands, oh, he's working, he got to provide for us, but she feel like that time that we're together, it should be really our time. It shouldn't be about nothing else but me and you enjoying one another. But
I'm so glad you said what you said. Because I got I'm telling you, I really be having conversations with brothers about these questions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was even to say at that point, I said, well, now you're saying that she's not happy because you're never at home because you work all the time, but all your free time is for you. Yeah, yeah. I go to do this. I say, see, that's the problem. You have to make you have to make yourself available for her if she's really your mate. And then everything else comes along together, or with an agreement to know, I love to play basketball and pick a day to do it. That's acceptable. But we have to sew back in. That was so dynamic, because I want you guys to know they're listening. We did not talk about this question together. She answered from her research and from the people sharing with her. But it sounded just like I said, if you're doing all the good things and still working, and yes, when you love, and I'm not just being, yes, I am. I'm being very, very, very pro a relationship. If you are really together, then there is nothing on the outside. It has to, if we really want marriage to become the institute that it was designed to be, we really have to get to the point where nothing else matters other than that relationship. Because God is in control. He's the head, the covering. And then we can learn to exercise. And then we can learn to go to the park and the beach and the movies together because we now enjoy each other.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? There was another perspective that women brought into it. They said sometimes it's not so much of the woman expectation. You know, you say, well, is the woman expectation attainable? They said, well, sometimes the men present themselves one way, and then the woman finds out that he lied or he exaggerated. And so it's not
I'm sorry.
That he was an imposter.
I'm sorry. Oh, man. Look, you got me on that. I'm so sorry. I just busted out like that. But he lied and got caught.
Yeah, he lied. You know, he exaggerated. You know what I mean? And then it just comes out
Jesus.
He was an imposter. You know, he
Right.
Because he just wanted to get close to this woman. And so it's not her.
And that's why I encourage men and women, take sex out the equation and understand Absolutely. What you're really looking for. I'm not playing. You know, when I'm talking about this journal and a list and stuff, I got prerequisites. I mean, they may not be attainable, okay? Then that means God wants me to stay in my position. But I'm learning to be particular.
Mm-hmm.
And not settle for just a partner that they say, you know, why? You know, because I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of brothers say, man, I can't minister with you. I said, well, why? Man, you single, dude. I said, what's that got to do with it, man? My wife just doing your swag and all that, man. I just can't come out there with you because my wife now think, you know, I'll be like, what? So some people could be now say, well, yeah, I got to get married so I could. No. You got to be particular and know God will have you find what he wants you to find when it's time to find.
Absolutely.
But you also have to have a purpose and know. I've been married once before, and it wasn't by purpose. It was by all those things we talked about. And then, yes, got married because we, you know, you're preaching now and living in sin, and everybody that you're preaching around is saying, hey, man, when are you going to get that right in your life? And then you make that decision. It wasn't the right decision because you did it for somebody else.
Right. That's true. I agree. Marriage is a serious thing. You got to be sure about that. That's for sure.
It is. But if you're really about death do us part, and we're really trying
right.
to, on this network, encourage marriage as an institution. That it has to be honored in a covenant to God, not man or woman, but a covenant to God. And so, yes, I am pro doing the right thing and pro trying to find the ways that we can help somebody else say, wow, if I would have known that in the beginning. But let me start over. Let's take a break from... I'm talking to a married couple tonight out there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's take a break from sexual intercourse and let's go find a good counselor and let's really sit down and get to know each other. It ain't too late. And when you come back, I guarantee you the sex will be better.
Yes, it will.
Did y'all do that? No, I'm just playing. Woo, I'm silly tonight. I want to open up the lines. Look, I know Minister Annie is on board. I see James online. I don't want to put him under the bus because I know he may be doing his 20 sets right now. Let's go ahead and start with Minister Annie. Welcome, Minister Annie, to the collaboration. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Minister Michelle. Good evening to you all.
Good evening, Minister Annie. God bless you.
God bless
Hello,
you.
Hello, woman of God.
Hello, Pastor E. How are you?
I am truly blessed.
All right. Amen. I've just been enjoying this these hot topics. I came in a little late, but this is really awesome tonight. What you guys elaborating on, or whatever you call it, is mm-hmm. really nice.
Amen.
But
well,
we're having fun. I have fun on these broadcasts, so I'm having a ball.
Oh, you do. That's right. We can have fun in the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Yes, we can. And the men have to
You're having fun, but you're still getting it out there.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Well, we just want to give you an opportunity to chime in. If something comes back up, I'll bring you back in here towards the end of the broadcast. I see that Evangelist Barbara is on the line. Welcome to Women Speak Now and Be Heard, Man Up, the collaboration. Good evening, woman of God.
Good evening, woman of God. God bless you.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless
Minister
you.
Michelle, is it, and Pastor E?
Yes.
Okay. I enjoyed everything, and I agree with everything you guys said. But I do want to encourage the heart and add one other thing. When you were talking about when you got a saved man or filled with the Holy Ghost, a man of the cloth, and you're at home and then your leader. And, you know, when you have a leader, I've taught women that you don't do more for that leader than you do at home.
Amen.
So I've taught the women that when you buy that man of God, that pastor, that leader, let's say a shirt, then buy your husband one. If you want to get them a pound or a hanky or whatever, then get your husband one. Don't do more for another man than you would do for your own, because charity begins at home. And so that's the way I've taught them, because you don't want nothing to go wrong in the home. And when you're a man of the cloth, and then even if you got one and you're unequally yoked, well, you ought to know there's going to be a problem. Because first of all, you should have talked to them about if you needed to give like something for anniversary or something coming up or a special seed. I think you both should talk about it, and you should be on the same page before you actually do that. And so I really, really enjoy that, because sometimes it causes a conflict in the marriage. It really does. And when you've been married over 21 years, you know each other, and you're supposed to be able to look at each other and talk about it, discuss it, and sometimes you don't even have to say nothing. That man of God will, that husband of yours will bow his head or say something or let you know, baby, it's okay, we can do this. I think we can afford this. And, you know, and I like that. I like that when you can elaborate together. And that's all I'm saying. Y'all hit it. I mean, you all didn't miss anything. It was awesome.
That was an excellent point. No, that was excellent. I like that, because men.
That was right. That was right in there.
Oh, I'm jealous. You know, so that's one way to handle it. That was excellent. Yep.
And it goes for both sides. I mean, that's what's important about this. It goes for both sides. If we really got a different way of looking at things, and we see what we really want and what we know that we're called to do, it's not hard to be found. It's not hard to find, but it depends on where your mindset is and what you're willing to sacrifice to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, and that was in my preaching. No, I'm just playing. Boy, I've been look. I've been with these children all day at the youth summer camp, basketball camp, and we've been having a ball. And it's still on me. The anointing. Was there no injuries? 2 days of over. Yesterday we had about 60 kids. Today it was over 90. No injuries.
Oh, wow.
No fights.
Awesome.
Little bump, little scratch here and there. But hey, he got that many kids out there having a good time in one gym. We had an awesome time. It's just still in my spirit. So I just want you guys to know, just a little bit over the top tonight on my little jokes and my little silliness. But guess what? God is still good.
It's all
and
good.
What was that first question y'all had? Pastor E, you were saying something about when you started
you
the program, because some came in late. Yeah.
The first one that we started with, it was is it disrespectful to still be friends and communicate with an ex who knows full well he or she wants you back, but you're now in a committed relationship?
Yes, I did totally agree with both of you, because I feel like it is disrespectful to that significant other or the friend that you've met and you're involved with, because you start the casual conversations, then it turns into something else. And if you start, you know, this and that, I think you should just, you know, because if you got children by that person, the questions, you need to have your questions together and say what you mean what you say, and you're through. And
right.
Do what you're going to do. And I feel like, so y'all answer that perfectly. Because something with the other. It starts something with the other half. If you're married or you got children and this one and that. Because, I like I said, me being a teacher as well, I would teach them, you know, either you're going to pay the child support or either you're going to get out. When that child is old enough, that child will find you. That child will find the father or the mother. if they love you. And if you see that it's just not going to work, there are other options. You got to find a balance there. And that's why, like she said, when you come into maturity with somebody and you know your do's and don'ts, you know what not to cross the line. You know not to go there. Because if you don't, like you said, if a person is still in love with you and they won't release you or let you go, then they're stuck at the gate. They can't move on.
That's right.
But that don't mean you get stuck at the gate, because you're looking for that perfect significant other, and you're wanting the ministry to go forth, and you want the ministry to go forth. And if that person loves what you do and you love what she's doing, and maybe this one got to go that way, the other one, and then you balance it. You got to find yourself right there. And it shouldn't be a problem, because you're mature in God. You're a seasoned. So, you know, when you marry something that's unequally yoked, then that's when all this other stuff comes. Because, like you said, I'm speaking from experience. Because the church said, this is your mother. They, you know, you're a PK kid. You can't check. You can't do this. You can't. Well, I'm not in love with that person. Well, that's the father of your truth, so it don't mean nothing. And so you're going back and forth, and that's hindering you and your blessing. Because you're
that's
not
right.
in love with the person that you had children. The first thing I said was, that was just a sperm donor. I didn't know what I know now. And now that I know, it's kind of like you hold a grudge, like, well, you ruined my life. Now I'm stuck. So now I got to go back with the luggage and ask God for forgiveness. Ask, Lord, we didn't know what we were doing. We had some seasoned so-called aints that's supposed to be saints, wouldn't counsel you, wouldn't talk to you, and then by the time you get all straightened out, the kids are grown. So, you know, if I know what I knew now, I wish somebody was there to help bring me along the way. And I wouldn't have never had to go through what I went through, but thank God, God turned it around.
Yeah.
You know, amen.
That's right.
You know, that's it.
Won't he do
it? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, if you let him.
Yeah, won't he do it?
Won't he do it if you let him?
That's right. Amen. Bless you, woman of God. It's always
thank
awesome.
You.
To have you collab with us. We're still looking to get you booked on the network. We want to hear a word from you. I want y'all to know this girl is on fire. She got a word ball all packed up in her. We definitely want to make room for you on Women Speak Now. Any one of our broadcasts, please let us know when you're available.
Well, give the ladies my number or find a way to contact me, and because I'm not really into Facebook, but I do try.
I'll give Minister Michelle your cell number.
Amen.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise God. James, I see you dropped off. You come back. I want to get you before you fall off again. James Hudson, how are you this evening, sir? This is Women Speak Now, Man Up, the collaboration.
Good evening,
bless you,
brother.
Man. Bless you, man.
God bless you.
Yeah, you guys are, like always, y'all over there starting something. Always starting something.
Always starting something. That's right.
Y'all always starting something. So y'all going to have these conversations. These folks going to be going at it tonight before they go to bed. Well, you heard what he said about the pack. You know how you've been buying the pastor all them suits. Look at my car. Come here, look at it right here. Come here, look at it. When the last time you bought Milton? You bought him some shoes. You remember that? Oh, my God. Well, you know, women are famous for being attracted to men in power, and then the men of the cloth. When you know, when you're a man of the cloth and you're in power, then that's just a double whammy for you. So that's hard for us brothers to have to deal with. But it is just that. But the thing that really stays with my mind is that even though women are into men with power, it doesn't necessarily have to just be a pastor, you know, be football player. It could be people, any man that we consider somebody of power. If you look at some of the women, have you ever just looked at some TV shows and you wonder to yourself, say, well, how did that guy get that beautiful woman?
Yes.
How did he get
we
that beautiful
on that.
Woman? Or would she have been interested in him if he didn't have that position that he had? Well, he's a politician or a ball player or, you know, would she have ever been, would she have given him a second thought if it wasn't for the position that he holds? And then the problem with that is, a many times when you get into these relationships and you are someone that's out in the public's eye, so to speak, women are attracted to that. But the problem is that they find that when they get into these relationships, they find out that other women are attracted to the same thing that they're attracted to, and they can't handle that. You know, for example, if you marry a pastor, a woman that goes and marry a pastor because, you know, she wanted to be with him because he was a pastor, you know, he has that figure. Well, she has to soon it turns on her that these other women are attracted to that same man for that same reason. And a lot of times they can't handle that situation. They can't handle that. The same thing. Well, what made you so attracted to Reverend da 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 da? Well, because he was Reverend da 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 da. Well, that's why those other women are attracted to him too. And so I just think that before you decide you want to get with a man that has, power, clout, whatever you want to call it, whether he's a politician, whether he's a minister or an athlete, or whoever you might be, you know, you just have to ask yourself, can I deal with the pressure that comes along with that? Because you see all these famous athletes, for example, that marry women, and then the first time that they go out and make a mistake with some other woman, or, that, you know, most people on the outside say, well, you know, she knew what she was getting into when she married him. He's a football player. What did she expect? You know, that's kind of what they do. You know, he's a basketball player. That's kind of what they do. She was attracted to him because of all that money. Well, guess what? Those other women are attracted to him, too. So it's a pretty big deal. I think people have to really open their eyes when I think Pastor E hit it on them and said, you know, you have to, when you really start getting serious about a relationship, you have to take the sex thing out of it. You know, take that physical thing out of it, because if you don't, then you're gonna run into a lot of serious problems. And I think that's why you see the divorce rate being as high as it is. We don't know how to. Somebody, I think Minister Michelle was saying earlier about, you know, maturity. You have to mature into these things. You have to mature into these relationships to where I'm not envious of my husband. A lot of people are envious of their own husband. A lot of women are. They are jealous of their own husband, and it shouldn't have to be that way. And that really stems from not being able to trust that person. That's really what that stems from. Is that I don't really trust this person. And I see them in that light, and every time she can't even sit down and enjoy a church service because she's looking around trying to see if another woman is looking at her husband. So it just makes it pretty hard. So if you go out and grab that fish, then you have to know the other people are probably trying to grab him too. So that's my little message in that. Oops, there it is.
That's it.
That was good.
That's it.
That was good. Very good.
And that was straight to the point.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was very good. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, man, bless you, my brother, man.
Bless you, man. Bless you, man. I'll talk to you after the thing. Give me a holler later, man. I need to talk to you.
I'll call you. That's for sure.
All right. Okay, bro. God be blessed.
Bless you.
Brother.
Amen. You. Anybody else? We got a couple more minutes. Anybody else would like to chime in and maybe have a comment or two? We have a few, 6 minutes, actually, before we get ready to sign up for this broadcast. Minister Michelle, it's always just the way God blesses you to deliver the combined answers. That's what's so good about this. Take combined answers from many people and put them into one that God is anointing. I'm blessed tonight.
Amen.
Minister
Amen.
Terry, welcome to the collaboration. Go ahead, Minister.
Well,
Minister
Terry. I don't know. No, go ahead.
Well, good evening, family. Good evening, beautiful family. Enjoying the collaboration. Sister. Yes, I'm enjoying this collaboration. Pastor, you and the men, you guys have some awesome questions. I like the number one, communication with the ex. And, you know, I thought about that, and I've just been thinking about that with the different answers. It depends on what the breakup was. When you do break up and you see this is not going to take it, you can still just be strictly platonic, business, any kind of friends, but you're still going to break up with exes. But most of the time, the breakups are one of them is scorned. So if it's a scorned ex, no, it's not good to have a relationship with them. And when children are involved, there's a lot that has to be said about that. That's another thing. And I like this one, number two, or was it 1B, the respect for the wise woman? I think we have to just stay in order. the respect we give the pastor. And we have to give the pastor the same respect we give the first lady. If there's a first lady in the house, we still give it. And I think it was Evangelist Barbara spoke on. You got to talk to, if you have a husband, either way, you have to talk to your mate. Excuse me, I had put my phone on speaker. But you have to talk to your mate before you start giving tokens. Because I've been in some congregations where they thought the pastor was God, and they would worship him and hug him. And I could sometimes see the facial expression of the first lady. So it's an order that you have to stay in and remain in when you're dealing with men of God in higher authority. And Minister Michelle, you and Pastor E on, I think it was number two, sensitivity, women being sensitive. Women, you said it, sister, you said as we age, we get more sensitive to things. And Pastor E, you hit it on the nose too. The thing is communicating. Sometimes women will harbor in, will just hold everything in. And sometimes if we communicate, could know what we're feeling at that time, we wouldn't be so sensitive about what's going on with us or around us. And what's that last one? I like that last one, too.
Our women expectations attainable?
Yeah, you know, I have to laugh at that one, too, because I think they are. And I think you guys both hit it on the nose. If a man is working, he's doing what he has to be, what he should be doing. I think the key thing is that if he's doing it without having to be asked to do it, a man should already know there's certain things a man should do as if certain things a woman should do. So we have to just know what we're both responsible and work together to get it done. So you guys have had some awesome questions today, Pastor E. Praise God.
Oh, yeah, we came hard. Oh, it's, look, you guys are getting, the higher you guys go, the higher we're going with you.
Yes, you guys came hard with them. But I tell you, Minister Michelle, sister, you handle them. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. To God be the glory.
God bless you. Love you
God
all.
Bless
God
you.
Bless.
Love you,
oh, we'll hear,
be
sure we'll hear from you tomorrow at 12.
Yes, tune in
at
12.
Tomorrow noon.
What's the word, Minister Terry and 52 Weeks of Love, Evangelist Valentine. Make sure you do it and be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Love you, sis.
Women on fire for God.
Love you all. God bless.
Love you, sister.
Any closing remarks from you, Minister Michelle?
I just want to say that the men had some excellent questions on tonight, and I think the women did a pretty good job. And so I just say that we just continue to work together. We're going to work these things out, and God is always going to get the glory in all that we do. When we put him first, we will never be last. Continue to hold on to his unchanging hand, because he changed not. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
In closing tonight, I may not be the most popular person after this recap. And this is probably one of the reasons I don't preach in a lot of churches across the country. But when we talk about a woman respecting a pastor more, a man of authority, a man of leadership, more than she did at home, that's not the woman's fault or the man's fault. It's the pastor's fault. For a pastor to shepherd a woman, male, child, or anyone, it's to find the best in that person's life to make them whole. So if at any time, and this has to change in the church, because it's very, very, it's a major problem. It has to change that us as pastors or and I'm talking to females out there too, that us in leadership that are now looking to be that person or that conduit to bring wholeness to people's lives, not making ourselves on a pedestal or in a position of ultimate power, but accepting our position of leadership that we lead others to grow. So I encourage every pastor that's under the sound of my voice to understand, to go tell another pastor that it's up to us to be how we carry ourselves. And I'll tell you, I've lived both sides, Minister Michelle. I've lived the side of using my talents and my leadership in church to get my way. I've also lived that life of going across the country, preaching all over the place. And every place I went, I was somebody's Boaz. And now in this season of my ministry, I understand it's not up to what people do and what it's up to me and how I hold myself. And I know I do have successful female relationships along with successful male relationships that have nothing to do with sex, money, drugs, or anything else. It has to do with spiritual connection of one. But that started with me. So I want to say to those in leadership, it starts with you. It's not the person's fault, because when you lead, people follow. So if you do not put your foot down and carry yourself a certain way, people are going to take advantage and try to get what they want and put you in a position that you'll find there's no way out. But it starts with me. So I want to do better today than I ever have before. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job, but I can do better to show that there's no partiality to what the physical can bring other than what the spirit has said shall be. It's up to us as leaders to set a new standard. It's up to us to put the stop to the old wicked ways of doing things and stop selling back and say, I'll go do my own thing. No, we have to start a culture, a new culture that says we will not accept those things that just were done because they were done. But let's do things that are accountable and are building people that we can finally see some productivity in our ministries of not church and building, but people that grow around us. I'm going to leave it there because I'll keep going. Oh, my God. But that's important for me to get out tonight. It's not her fault. It was mine. I should have stopped it before it got going. And I should have, watch this, put a standard on the pulpit to what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And we can stop a lot of things that's going on in the churches today that we can get the church and us together. Amen. God bless you guys. Love you. Honor you. Appreciate you. Didn't mean to beat nobody up. I just wanted to say how I'm holding myself accountable. And that's what changed my ministry, that I can minister to the masses all across this country without any prerequisites or any agendas, except blessing to be a blessing and blessing more to be more of a blessing. And I thank you guys for listening and indulging me in this. God bless you guys. You are loved.
You are full of mercy.
Yes, I went there.
Grace and truth. So we worship Almighty God. You are a redeemer. You redeem the one source of our strength. We worship you, Almighty God. You are full of mercy. You are full of grace and truth. You know that's why we worship God, Almighty God. You made it all.
Everything I read, every note I sing is for
we
you.
Worship
we
worship
you, Almighty
God.
Almighty God, Almighty God. God of mercy and great grace, full of compassion now we embrace. All of your power in this place, touch us now as we seek your face. We worship you,
we worship you,
we worship you. You're merciful and full of grace,
we
Lord.
We worship you.
And the truth is, we never would have made it unless you were there for us, Lord Jesus.
Love you.